RNZ Pacific News. Whakalofalahi atu. I'm Lydia Lewis. The Niue government has confirmed Premier Dalton Tangilangi is a close contact of a COVID-19 case and is in isolation. It follows the arrival of the first quarantine-free flight with tourists from New Zealand on Monday local time. Five people have tested positive so far. Mandatory day 3 testing of the remaining passengers and all close contacts is being carried out today. Public health expert Sir Colin Tukuitonga says the results of those tests are critical to Niue's health response, as it will determine if the country is facing community transmission. So far, COVID-19 has only been detected at the border. If the virus is detected in the community today, the country will move to alert level red. The number of active COVID-19 cases in Nauru has risen to 3,381 as the country's second week experiencing community transmission comes to an end. President Lainoa Aingimea says 220 new cases have been recorded in the last 24-hour period. He says so far just under 10,000 tests have been processed. Speaking to hundreds of protesters outside the UN Ocean Conference in Lisbon, Palau President Sarangul Whips Jr. says the Pacific might as well be bombed given the impacts big countries have on the Pacific region's oceans. His appearance at the protest followed the launch of the Pacific Alliance with Fiji, Samoa and Guam, calling for a memorandum on deep sea mining. Mr. Whips thanked the protesters for their support of the Pacific, and he said global leaders need to listen.
If I use the words, you might as well bomb us, because we're already impacted by climate change. How could you agree to now go do deep sea mining? Thank you for standing up for us in the Pacific.
The UN Ocean Conference ends overnight. China's ambassador to Tonga has denied engaging in debt trap diplomacy in the Pacific, saying that if the heavily indebted country cannot repay its loans, we can talk and negotiate in a friendly, diplomatic manner. The Guardian reports Chao Lin told a gathering in Nuku'alofa, a rare opportunity for journalists to question Chinese officials, that preferential loans from China came with no political strings attached and that Beijing will never force countries to repay the loans. Tonga, which was hit by a volcanic eruption and tsunami in January, has external debt of $195 million, or 36% of its GDP, of which two-thirds is owed to China's Exim Bank. Debt repayments to China are due to spike in 2024 on a loan used to rebuild its central business district after riots in 2006. As Solomon Islands opens its borders today, businesses are looking forward to entering the recovery phase following the impact of the pandemic as well as last year's political unrest. Many local businesses were burnt down in last November's riots, and the CEO of Solomon Islands Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Natalina Hong, says businesses are looking forward to returning to normal after operating through a challenging period.
Especially small and medium businesses, they are feeling the grudge of it. Most of them have operated cautiously in terms of their operation, but also I think with the border open, they'll be more optimistic and there'll be more assurance that, you know, recovery of the economy from the pandemic and the unrest is now going to go ahead.
A Pacifica Group in Auckland is raising funds to buy a 12-seater vehicle for the Women's and Children's Crisis Centre in Tonga. The centre is Tonga's main public service for women and children needing refuge from domestic violence. Organiser Reverend Asora Amosa says January's volcanic eruption has inspired people to help.
It's in our human DNA to help, okay? It's in part of our makeup is to help. And that is basically primarily the reason that drove us as a team of to kind of reach out in this fashion. It's the passion. expression of the spirit of giving, donating to somebody in need.
The donation drive ends on Saturday. The New Zealand Medical Journal has been given a reprieve. The journal, which was first published in 1886, has been threatened with liquidation. The scientific journal for the medical profession has now been sold by the Medical Association to the Pacifica Medical Association Group. The Medical Association itself is likely to be liquidated when members take a final vote on it next week. To sport, Flying Fijians head coach Vern Cotter has named five debutants in the team to face a high-profile Tongan side in the Pacific Nations Cup match tomorrow in Suva. Cotter has injected a mixture of young and experienced players who have been in camp for the past 2 weeks. The debutants are Isoa Nasilasila, Rusiate Nasove, Vinaya Hambose, Setraiki Tamnivalu and Kelaviti Ravovo. The team will be captained by Stade France winger Waisea Nayathalevu. The team, Cotter says, he is expecting a strong performance from the Tongan side. He expects the game to be physical for the initial 20 to 30 minutes, therefore they need to be ready for that confrontation. Tonga coach Tutai Kefu has named 11 debutants, including ex-Wallaby and All Black stars Israel Folau, Malakai Fekitoa and Charles Piutol. The All Blacks coach Ian Foster says they're welcoming the pressure that comes with their three-test series against Ireland, which starts tomorrow night at Eden Park. The All Blacks haven't lost at the Auckland Fortress in 28 years, and Ireland have never beaten them on New Zealand soil. However, Ireland have won three of the last five tests between the two, including the last 7 months ago, and Foster says it's a great challenge for his side.
We normally don't get a chance to play the top Northern Hemisphere teams to November, and we have to sort of try to change our game accordingly in the last part of the year when maybe we're a little bit fatigued, whereas this time we've got a chance to test ourselves over 3 weeks when we're still developing our game.
Two players will make the All Blacks' debut in the match, winger Lester Fainga'anuku and reserver Lucy Pitagas Sauakula. A couple of changes have been made to the White Ferns teams for this month's Commonwealth Games, with batter Lauren Down and bowler Jess Kerr both being ruled out of the trip to Birmingham. They've been replaced by bowlers Lee Tahuhu and Claudia Green. Down is taking time away from the game to work on her well-being, while Kerr is still recovering from an injury. The Warriors made an emotional return to Mount Smart Stadium this week ahead of Sunday's NRL clash with the West Tigers. The Auckland club's first home game in more than 1,000 days. The team has spent the last two and a half years based in Australia due to the COVID pandemic. The Warriors were welcomed back to Mount Smart Stadium with a porphyry this week, and halfback Sean Johnson says it's really good to be home.
I'm not sure I can put it into words, if I'm being honest. It's been a long time, obviously, for a lot of the boys. And, yeah, this year's been, you know, probably a little bit indifferent. So to actually sort of be home and feel like you're where you belong, yeah, it's a feeling I can't actually sort of describe.
Sunday's match at Mount Smart Stadium is a sellout. And that is the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more online at rnzi.com.